If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
We have got a jam-packed hour in front of us here, folks. Lots to cover. If you'd like to be part of today's program, 800-848-WABC is the number to call. 800-848-9222. Let's start with this. I'm going to not spend a lot of time with the story. The headline says all you need to know. Shameful. Terrorist leader al-Zawahiri killed in the home of New York Times contributor. Doesn't matter who the contributor is. The guy that whose home he was visiting was a contributor for the New York Times. Again, that's if you want to know more, you can find more. The headline should suffice. It was in PJ Media this afternoon. Let us move next. Illegal immigrant charged in Alabama kidnapping murder case after girl's escape leads to decomposing bodies. Plural. Jose Paulino Pascual Reyes was deported by Homeland Security before he re-entered the United States. There was nothing uncommon about that. The suspect, now facing kidnapping and murder charges in Alabama, 12-year-old girl escaped from his mobile home, prompted discovery of two decomposing corpses. The guy is an illegal immigrant to this country, deported from the United States once before. Fox News Digital has confirmed. He's now charged with first-degree kidnapping, 3 counts of capital murder, 2 counts of abuse of a corpse in connection to the gruesome discovery. Once again, here in the United States, illegally. We do not know yet when he returned to the United States of America. It isn't fair to speculate when it could have been, but the fact that we still have illegal immigrants in this country who do these kind of, commit these kinds of heinous acts should dispel any notion that the borders are secure or that they have been secure except for the attempts that President Trump made to secure the borders, which the Democrats fought tooth and nail. Whether this illegal immigrant, serial murderer, sexual abuser, rapist, pedophile ever receives justice, we will have to wait to see. But we do know that the Democrat Party in the United States of America has allowed these kind of crimes to occur with their support of open borders, with their endless support and welfare, which is an invitation to illegal immigration in this country. Now, if you talk about this in these terms, you're likely to be called a xenophobe or worse, anti-Hispanic. Neither is true. I, like everybody else that believes in the rule of law in this nation of ours, welcome immigrants from all over the world who go through the legal process of being here, or if they did come here illegally, who then try to make amends by becoming legal residents of the United States. Once again, blood on the hands of Democrats and the Democrat Party. I know where your family lives. Sean King threatens journalists who reported on his exorbitant grift gig. This story today was, it was either in, I believe it was in American Wire News. I'll find out in 1 second. But the long and short of this story is Black Lives Matter hero Sean King, it has been exposed in the last 2 days. It's been spending a lot of money. Without going into the deets of the story, $40,000 show dog on top of brand new mansion. Well, now he's threatening two New York Post journalists who actually reported on it. He published posts to social media asking his followers to track down the photos and addresses of the two journalists, Isabel Vincent and Kevin Sheehan. He eventually deleted those posts, but one of these, he said to Isabel Vincent of the New York Post, "You posted my house online and caused white supremacists to show up at my doorstep to terrify my wife and kids." I wonder if that really happened. Is there a police report that shows that happened? Are there pictures? It seems to me that someone in the house would have taken pictures of this. "You interrupted our entire lives doing so. You knew what would happen when you published my home, but you did it anyway, and you did it without consequence." Then he bragged, "I know where you live. I know where you used to live, where your family lives, where they work, where they play, how you move around New York and the Hamptons, and a few thousand other people know now as well." He concluded his post by threatening to write articles about her. "Here's the thing. You can attack me and giggle about it to your peers and your family. That's fine. But I'm going to at least make it uncomfortable for you to do, for you. You aren't going to post about my personal life without consequence, and you can keep doing it. And I'll keep doing this. I'll go deeper. Soon, I'm going to write articles about where you live, where your family lives. That's what you did to me. You push harder, I'll return it back to you. That's the game we are playing now." He sent a very similar message to the other reporter. The story says that Mr. King, 41, moved earlier this year from a luxury two-bedroom apartment in downtown Brooklyn to a five-bedroom, 3,000-square-foot North Brunswick, New Jersey property with lakefront backyard, gourmet kitchen. The property was purchased for about $842,000. Bruce Golding of the Post ran a story based on reporting from the Washington Free Beacon about King purchasing a 40,000 guard dog with money from his political action committee. It seems that Capitol Police have published an unconstitutional job listing. Speaking of which, Kev, do you happen to have in our sound roster from yesterday the White House press girl declaring that Roe v. Wade was unconstitutional? This would be Karen, what's her name, the press girl for the White House. Okay, good. All right. Capitol Police, meanwhile, have published an unconstitutional job listing. Here's what they want to do. They want to hire their own federal prosecutors. Now, that may sound not a big deal to you, but it is a big deal. Congress does not have the constitutional authority to become the executive branch. In other words, it is the Department of Justice under the executive branch that has prosecutors, not the Congress. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have posted listings for congressional prosecutors. This has to go to court. I mean, this cannot stand. Meanwhile, let's listen to what the White House press gal said yesterday. This was almost insane.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision, away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their families.
It was an unconstitutional right that was taken away by them, an unconstitutional act that they did to take away a constitutional right from women and their bodies. Well, somebody should tell the little press girl that the Supreme Court actually decides what is constitutional or not, not her. And if she had studied the Constitution, perhaps she would even arrive at the point that most constitutional scholars admit that this so-called right she claims never was a part of our nation's Constitution to begin with. Can you play that one more time, please?
Absolutely.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision, away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their families.
It was an unconstitutional action by them, taking away a right that was around for almost 50 years. Take away and women's bodies? Well, well, well. We're not just 50 years old. Prior to Democrats on the court making the law in the first place, the country had over 150 years where it wasn't the law. Now things have reverted back to the original stare decisis, if you will. But that said, who's going to pay attention to the White House press girl? Anyway, it is clearly unconstitutional for Congress to have federal prosecutors on its payroll and working for them. It violates the separation of powers. Federal prosecutors work for the president and the executive branch, and every prosecution by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer's army of prosecutors should be subject to serious constitutional challenge by the Supreme Court. That, my friends, if they go through with this, has to happen. This could not and cannot be allowed to stand. It is a clear power grab by both Pelosi and by both Schumer, who are clearly intent on further trying to punish their political enemies. Now, a few other stories you may want to comment on. You know the basketball player Brittany was sentenced. Grenier was sentenced to 9 years. Yep, in Russia. Also, the monkeypox has now been declared a health emergency across the United States. Those two things, a lot more. Gavin Newsom is begging California filmmakers to come back to California, and Ron DeSantis proves once again why he is unstoppable. All of that and more when Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour continues. Don't go away.
Roger, roger.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
WABC Talk Radio 77 in New York. WSWV brings us back. Remember, Catch at Night comes up after the show today. California Governor Gavin Newsom is asking Hollywood, to stop filming in conservative Georgia and Oklahoma after the abortion ruling and come on back home to California. He's calling on Hollywood film industry to bring back production, move to Oklahoma and Georgia, amid pandemic lockdowns and rising crime. He's criticizing the Republican-controlled states over policies against abortion. He took out an ad in Variety magazine, Hollywood, Your Values, Your Choice. California is the best place in America to create. For 100 years, we've been home to storytelling and storytellers together. We built a creative community that includes unrivaled cast, crews, craftspeople, infrastructure, and technology, robust tax credits and other incentives, the best culture. More importantly, we share your values. So now it's time to choose. Over the past years, the legislatures of states like Georgia and Oklahoma have waged a cruel assault on essential rights. Now, in the wake of the Supreme Court's abhorrent decision overturning Roe v. Wade, those same states are quickly moving to strip reproductive freedoms. All right, let's talk about this for a minute. What has California actually given the world? What is this, this creative community of storytellers and storytelling done? My contention is, if you look fully at what has emanated from Hollywood, yeah, you'll find some pretty amazing things. You'll find great special effects. You'll find great explosions. What you find are formulas. You don't find a whole lot of original storytelling. You find formulas. It worked for one movie, so now we got to watch the next 56, 57 movies copy that one movie with the same theme. What they've also given the world are stereotypes. Every stereotype you hold, or most of us hold, one can trace back to media, whether it's the liberal media in print with their storytelling instead of journalism, or whether it's Hollywood and their portrayal of black people, for instance, as pimps, hoes, bitches, and who they choose to elevate and who they choose to ignore. Drug dealers, street life, that's all they focus on out of Hollywood for black people, and they do the same for many Hispanics until recently. Just think about the movies like The Scarfaces and all of that. What do they portray? They portray America through their eyes. They also portray religious institutions as being run by evil people. Now, granted, there are instances, and we all know about them, where the churches and some of our religious institutions have failed in dramatic fashion, and they deserve to be criticized. But Hollywood doesn't stop there. They brand, for instance, all Christians in many instances of being nut jobs, wackos. Stories that have good values, almost absent. The dystopian views that come out of Hollywood are depressing. Hollywood's great at telling stories of perversion, every kind of perverse activity that's a horror to the mind, whether it's new ways to kill people, torture, bondage, all of that emanates out of the Hollywood storytelling. The worst of humanity, those stories come from the minds of these so-called creative class that Gavin Newsom wants to come back to California. By the way, I'm all for it. You guys want to go to California? Fine. Go back to the high crime neighborhoods. Go back to your houses where you have to put them behind walls while you complain about walls on the southern border. You have the big walls protecting your Hollywood houses because you don't want, quote unquote, those people in your neighborhood. Let's be frank. Those people are only good if they're your maids and your butlers. Okay? So, yeah. You Hollywood lefties want to go back to Hollywood? Help yourselves. But by the way, there are more people in the creative class in this country that are not part of the left. There are so many creators, great storytellers, that are not leftists or socialists. So if you lefties want to further isolate yourselves on your little island of high taxes, crime, corruption, then listen to Gavin and go back to Hollywood. You can continue to spew your hatred for America from Hollywood. You can continue to spew your racist, sexist, misogynist views of the world from Hollywood. Who was it? Harvey Weinstein? You guys want to talk about where the sex and misogyny comes from? Let's talk about this move right now. Why is it necessary for the Oscars to pretend they care about black people and put a black person here as the token this or the token that? Because so long your Hollywood institutions were racist. I have been talking to some Hollywood people. You know what Hollywood people don't do right now? They don't let a lot of black musicians score a movie. There's only one or two. It's a little selective club. Even Black Panther was scored by white guys. Like they couldn't find black people to score the Black Panther movie or others.
Are you kidding me?
No, they keep black people out. They keep black people out of certain genres of storytelling. Because it's their little white boys club to this day. And they also keep women out of certain roles too. You remember all that fury that came when all of a sudden was talked about that there was a black woman going to be the next 007? I mean, these people went nuts. Look at the way they treated the black guy in Star Wars. Bagoya. He's out talking about it but now he's decided to move on. You look at the biggest Hollywood companies. Look at who these lefties are. They always point their finger at the South. Oh, these people are a bunch of racists. Well, no, we know where the real racism in America comes from. Look up and down the East Coast of America, and you see segregated schools, segregated neighborhoods. Look at the West Coast. Look at Los Angeles, San Francisco. Look at what left coast lefties do. The same thing. Segregated neighborhoods, segregated schools where the minority kids are forced into these failing schools. You can't talk about charter schools because they don't want your kids having the same access to opportunity that their kids have. So, yeah, Gavin, get your little Hollywood lefties to come back and fill the decks in Hollywood again with your white liberal Democrats. Have at it. Georgia and other states, I guarantee you this, will not miss them one bit.
The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Rush.
On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Swing out, sister. One of my favorites. You know this is 80s. This from the beats, from the sound. Twilight World.
They
I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee.
My friends, we have two.
Talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be.
Two animal stories here today on Bo Snurley's Rush Hour.
Maybe take an animal degree.
I wish I could tell you that both of them were happy stories. Neither one of them is. Nonetheless,
bear and python, and I would curse in fluent kangaroo. If people asked me, can you speak rhinoceros, I'd say of course.
Can you?
If I conferred with the furry friends.
Well, here we go. And again, my friends, I wish it were good news. It's not. The first animal story is actually dreadful. A Florida felon has shot and killed a police dog while running away from cops. The cops gunned him down. One would call that perhaps karma. Lake Wales Police Chief Chris Velasquez said his department got a frantic call from 911 about 5 a.m. A woman said Ernest Borders yanked her out of a car, slammed her head into the concrete, choked her, fired a gun. Now keep in mind, convicted felon here, another convicted felon out of jail roaming the streets. Lake Wales police set up a perimeter, sent out their canine Max to track Borders down. The pursuing pooch quickly picked up the crook's scent and clamped down on his ankle. Borders pulled out his firearm, fatally shot the police dog at point blank range. Well, Lake Wales cops quickly opened fire on Borders, who later, as Rush would say, assumed room temperature. The grieving police department held a memorial procession for Max, the police dog, Wednesday after the incident. His handler, Officer Jared Joyner, placed the pooch in the back of the patrol car, drove from police headquarters to the medical examiner. Colleagues followed in tow. Describing the dog as fearless, Velasquez said he joined the department in 2016 from the Netherlands, 21 months old. I love this, the way that they referred to the dog. Officer Joyner lost part of his family today. The officer is extremely distraught. He's heartbroken, and so are we. The criminal in this case didn't make it after that horrible, horrible deed. Our second animal story, ladies and gentlemen, is also from Florida. A Florida woman has been arrested. She was arrested on Tuesday of this week for allegedly committing sexual acts with her dog while her ex-boyfriend, who was also arrested, recorded all that was going on video. Christina Colello, 36 years old, willfully engaged in sexual activity with the dog on multiple occasions over the course of roughly 8 years, according to the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. Her ex-lover, 39-year-old Godfrey Springer, Godfrey Springer of Largo, allegedly recorded the encounters and put them on a hard drive. The dog, which had no visible injuries, was taken to an animal hospital by deputies for a routine examination. The nature of the sexual acts was not disclosed by police. This pair, this couple, taken to Pinellas County Jail, charged with sexual activity involving animals. Galillo, a New Jersey native in Safety Harbor, posted a $5,000 bond. She was released. County records show she was also arrested and charged with domestic battery in May. Mr. Springer, who recorded these sexual acts, has also been released on his own recognizance. No word on where the dog is going to end up. Whether the dog is going to have to get PTSD therapy. Or whether the dog is going to demand to return to his lover. My friends, it's a strange world we live in. Florida apparently has its fair share of some of those strange human beings. Let us head to the telephones after that happy story and go to Queens, New York. Daniel, welcome. Thank you for holding on. It's Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour here on WABC. Right? Hello, Daniel. How are you?
How are you doing? You know what? Now you speak like a righteous socialist, like one of us. You need to be one of us. That thing, theme that you said, Tommy said about how in Hollywood, how they like to portray certain individuals, stereotype certain people. I mean, check this out. Like the Last of the Mohicans. I mean, are you kidding me? It should be a Native American. What did they have? That Gary Day Lewis was his name, the actor Gary Day Lewis. And then that was the other one, the last samurai. Tom Cruise is the last samurai. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you joking?
Right. Right. Well, look, this is the thing with Hollywood. You know, by the way, I have been watching lately The Chosen. And one of the things that I have loved about The Chosen is that they didn't go with this sort of Hollywood casting that you usually see in movies about Christianity. And The Chosen, by the way, I just got through with the second season. It is really good. It's very well done. The storytelling, the telling of the story, I should say, is marvelous. But I don't sound like a socialist. I sound like a person that tells the truth. Daniel, you know what comes out of Hollywood a lot of times is trash. And you know that Hollywood has been doing this stuff for years and years. And not just the trash. Anyone that looks at these Hollywood stereotypes, the way that they portray black people, the way they portray certain women. Look at this whole idea that we learn from Hollywood. Oh, blondes are dumb. Oh, black people are a bunch of drug dealer pimp hoe bitches. Look at the way that they do Hispanics. Gangsters. Scarfaces, drug dealers. Look at the way that they often portray people. The silliness, especially the way that they do black. You can go back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, the way that they do the black sidekicks is totally racist. It's like they never came out of their Amos and Andy days. They just refine it and make it better. But look at the anti-American stories. Capitalism is evil. The church is bad. Everything religious is bad. Atheism is great, and people that are atheists are the highest thinkers in the world. These Hollywood people, their values are the most twisted values in the world. So if Gavin Newsom wants to bring back all these, and these people are racist, the way that they have treated black people in Hollywood, they're still keeping them out of certain jobs. And they pretend now that everything's great with the Academy Awards. It's not. They can have 3 or 4 tokens up there every year. It doesn't negate what they do as an industry. Hollywood, run by liberals, has been a racist, pathetic industry, anti-American, anti-capitalist industry for years. And if Gavin Newsom wants to bring back all his liberal Democrat racists so that he can run them in his horrid little leftist state, look at what the left is upset about. They are so upset because they can no longer kill babies, that they have made this their ledge to die on. We can't kill our own offspring anymore, so let's go and do everything we can to protest and show how much disdain we have for the Supreme Court of the United States for not letting this genocide, this 50-year-old genocide, continue. We can't sell body parts anymore. And who were those body parts that were being sold out of Planned Parenthood clinics? Who were they? Mostly black children. They don't want to talk about that, but we've seen the videos of it. So, yeah, let these lefties continue to do what they do. Let Gavin Newsom get upset about it and demand his lefties come home and stop making money in other states of this union. Most states are not going to cry if the liberals leave. And liberals are not the only creative people in America. James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, coming back. More after this.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Rolling Stones bring us back.
I'm sitting home looking out the window, imagining the world has stopped. Then it flies a guy.
WABC Talk Radio 77. We're celebrating 100 years this year. The crown jewel of American radio. There's a story today in The Hill. Election deniers rack up wins, fueling concerns in both parties. I'm going to hold that story until tomorrow because Princess Di is going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to ask her about that. Also, you know, there's a listener that to this show that I really do owe an apology. He called a few weeks ago and he started talking about something like ESU. Something, and I thought it was conspiracy theory stuff, and I kind of just brushed him off with it. I've tried to be nice about it, and I did not understand what he was saying. He was talking about the ESG standards. I know what ESG standards were. This is going on through private sector, and this business that these people have environmental, social, and other standards that they are pushing collectively. Through many of our, it is so-called environmental, social, and governance standards. And this is nothing but straight-up socialist stuff. I'm going to ask, and Diana mentioned to me after that call, you know, no, you misunderstood that guy. So there's a story today that Republican states are planning an all-out assault on woke banks. They don't want to do business with woke banks. We're going to cover that story tomorrow, too, or Saturday. And I'm going to ask Diana, Princess Di, to comment on that. Meanwhile, the folks at Cracker Barrel are having another controversy. They offered plant-based sausage patties on their menu. And you would think that they did something completely beyond the pale. Cracker Barrel's Facebook page doesn't normally spark much discussion, but that changed when the company said this week that it's adding a plant-based sausage patty to the restaurant chain's menu. Suddenly, customers swarmed the page, with some calling the decision a crock and garbage vowing never to return to Cracker Barrel because they're adding an item that's plant-based? By Thursday morning, Facebook posts had drawn more than 7,000 comments, compared with the 100 or so that usually happen on Cracker Barrel. Are you kidding me? Who do you think your customer base is? One person wrote. I still order the double meat breakfast, and it's not even on the menu anymore. Another added, go woke, go broke. In response to the negative comments, supporters of plant-based options and menu choices entered the fray, with one commenter noting, imagine being triggered by breakfast. Exactly. Now, restaurants have been adding some plant-based menus for a long time. And you know what? I don't understand what the big deal is. They're not taking off any of the meat for the carnivores. Your burgers are still there. Your sausage links are still there. Your sausages are still there. Your pork chops are still there. Your little Bambi meals are still on the, you want to eat Bambi, it's still on the menu wherever you can eat Bambi. You know, so what's the big deal if they put some plant-based stuff on the menu too? Nobody's breaking your arm for you to taste it or eat it. It offers other people a chance to eat some things that they like. That's all. I don't get it. And if you haven't, I'm not going to give endorsements, but I eat plant-based food. I've been a vegetarian for over 40 years. And I don't knock, hey, you want to eat meat? That's your business. I'm not telling you what to eat or what not to eat. That's your business. I don't care what you eat or what you don't eat. Or who are you? Never mind. I don't care what you eat.
Don't be rude.
I'm not trying to be rude. But I just don't understand. Somebody can explain this to me. I'd love to hear. Why all the anger at people that are eating differently than you are? I don't understand the anger. That's all. Let us go Tom in Wyckoff, New Jersey. Tom, welcome. You're on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. How are you, Tom?
Oh, Bo, how you doing?
I'm good.
I was calling about the police dog. My son-in-law, former NYPD, now is upstate, has a police dog. Could not have a better partner. I thank God every day that he has that dog with him. And you see exactly why today, what people are willing to do. Pull a gun out and shoot someone. I feel terrible for that dog, and I really feel bad for that officer because those animals become part of the family. He has that dog 24 hours a day, every day. It comes home with him, and that dog is there to protect his life, and I thank God that he has the dog. And it's a terrible thing. Somebody would shoot that animal.
Tom, thank you for that call, and I'm glad you called in with that. Yes, it is a terrible thing. The killer will not be killing anyone else. He was quickly... how shall we say, relieved of his evil disposition in life by the other police officers that were on the scene. Thank you. Joe in Long Island, welcome. WABC Talk Radio 77. How are you, Joe?
Good. How are you? I just wanted to comment on Pelosi's trip to Taiwan and what a complete waste of time and taxpayer money it was. Not only did she accomplish absolutely nothing, but I believe that she actually made matters worse. Not only is Russia pissed off, now Pelosi pissed off China, too. And I think that the only reason she really did it was to grandstand and try to distract people from the disaster that the Democrats imposed on the country. Your thoughts?
Well, it didn't work. If that was her objective, it didn't work. All it did was bring more attention to what she and the Democrats do. I mean, it was all of this. But one thing I do appreciate it, all that big mouth by China about, oh, you're going to pay a horrible price. Oh, we're going to shoot down her plane. Yeah, who's the paper tiger now, China? For years and years, they called us a paper tiger. Who's the paper tiger now? It's not. I better shut my mouth before something awful happens.
Right?
And I have to eat crow.
Don't be rude.
I'm not. Jack in Bayonne. Thanks for the call, Joe. Let's go to Bayonne. Jack, how are you?
Lovely hearing from you. Bo, just a quick comment from you about corporate America.
all of a sudden they got woke. Like, in other words, they didn't know there were black people in this country all these years. And now they'll pitch into their market share. And now all of a sudden it's like everything is about everything. And it's so disingenuous and phony and ridiculous that they didn't know, they didn't realize this.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear your comments about it because it's so interesting to me how everything all of a sudden has shifted. And it's just an empty gesture to protect their market share. At least that's how I see it.
You are so right. This is all this. Look at all these millions of dollars they gave to BLM. And those of us on the sidelines were saying, you all are wasting your money. What is BLM going to do? What has BLM done with the almost $1 billion that they raised? Some of them have nice houses. What have they done to change things for the better in any black segregated neighborhood in the Northeast or on the West Coast?
Well, they just now realize there are black people in this country. That's what I'm finding so amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And now they've discovered, by the way, that there are Hispanic people in the country too, because they're concerned that Hispanic people are not going to vote for them in the same numbers. So, yes, you make a great point, Jack. Thank you for the call. Bill, Huntington, New York. Bill, if you're calling about what I think you're calling about, this is an interesting story. Go right ahead, Bill.
Yeah. Over the weekend in your newsletter, there was a story that said a lot of journalists are taking the dried up hallucinogenic mushrooms on the job. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have put the story in the Daily BS. Here's the story he's talking about, folks. And it did appear in my daily news blast, the Daily BS. Apparently, in some circles, they're now taking these hallucinogenics in small quantities. And this is a crave among some journalists because supposedly it helps them think clearer. It helps them. It's almost like what people say they get when they use that drug that's supposed to help the boys that can't pay attention. Adderall. Right. But except it's supposed to be, what they describe this as is like almost like an Adderall on steroids. It just helps you focus. It helps you present your case more intelligently, helps you write, and all that stuff. And there have been, some journalists have been writing about it. So, yeah, I do tend to believe that the story could be very real. And if you'd like to get that twice a day news blast, it's called the Daily BS. And you can go to my website, jamesgolden.com or boastnerdly.com, and get it. So let us see. Jacqueline, quickly, we have time for maybe 30 seconds. Jacqueline, got to make it quick.
James, I wanted to know, you opened with something about Al-Zawahiri being killed in the home of one of the owners of the New York Times. How can I find more information about that, or do you have it up on your website or something?
It is a New York Times contributor. And here's the headline again, shameful. Terrorist leader Al-Zawahiri killed in home of New York Times contributor. It is by Rick Moran, M-O-R-A-N, and PJ Media has the story today. Thanks, Jacqueline. All right. Catch a Night up next. Boy, this has been a doggone show. May God bless and protect each and every one of you and your families. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. See you then. Bye.
You having a good time, Joe?
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.